Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Oh boy. Welcome everyone to A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com, where today's episode is really just going to be a therapy session for all of us.
I am in shock. I can't believe it.
In case you have been living under a rock, Ash is no longer going to be in the anime, and we are going to talk about that in the second half of the show, because first, there are things to do. If you are a listener to this show, there is a plan, usually. There is a format to this show, where first, we do the business. We do this show every Monday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. We do it on Twitch, and you can watch us on Facebook, twitch.tv/comicbook. And we also read reviews. That's the best way to support this show, is to leave us a review on iTunes. Ask us a question. I have some pulled up. You guys answered many good questions yesterday. Don't think I do not have comments about your Geodude comments from last week. So much so that Link is a Weeb is actually back with another review. Says, since Jim wasn't there, I'm once again asking why Jim likes Geodude. If he's not here again, I'm just going to keep asking until he answers.
Is my Long Island quarry answer, was it that correct?
Hey, I was nice. I was gentle. I was thoughtful and respectful, as much as you can be when dissing Geodude.
Wow. I will get to that in a second. Let me just finish the rest of this. He said he really likes the new changes to get in sync with Japan. The Japanese packs have a reverse holo and two regular holos, at least. I really like the silver borders personally. Anyway, another question for you all. What is your favorite TCG set? Thanks, guys. And quick edit. Holy crap, Ash is leaving. I'm going to miss him, but excited for what the future holds for Pokemon. Why do I like Geodude? Geodude, to me, has one of the more creative Pokemon designs, especially for that first gen, and his whole line. It was one of the first Pokemon I had that like was on my team, came in clutch for me in a number of different places, and I have had him on my team in every game available since. It's just cool design. He just has a cool design. It's one of those, I like Pokemon that, especially for you, dude, that kind of can be practical, right? Mm-hmm. In the sense of he has like natural camouflage, right? Like he can just look like a rock and then boom, all of a sudden you've got this rock with two guns, basically, you know, coming at arms,
strangling you. and you're on the ground, and there's just this man with triangle eyes looking down at you, but he doesn't have a torso or legs. He's just a rock with a face and an arms, and you're going black.
And I thought they did him right in the anime as well. The early anime, one of the better episodes of the show.
I will be 100% honest. The reason I am not a fan of Geodude is because they made Geodude float in the anime, and I thought that was the dumbest thing. Like, if we would have had Geodude using its arms to walk around dragging itself, which, you know, is
that,
very
unsettling. That I would agree. That would be really cool because that's just like a really unsettling visual, you know?
It is. It's true. It
and is if amazing. You're going to make him float, then he needs to be like some sort of psychic type. Like, yeah.
It makes no sense, huh? Jeez. It makes no sense.
You're getting calls during the show.
I did. It's a Los Angeles number, too.
Oh. Wow.
Oh, it's probably it's probably someone about your rings of power thing. So you may want to take that while I continue.
Oh, shit. You're probably right. I'll be right back.
I will say, as far as some of the trading card game stuff, Megan, I thought your idea was brilliant as far as how there is not a already kind of a secondhand market or secondary market for card holders, or basically like penny sleeves that have the yellow border around them instead of the silver.
I may
border.
Or may not be investing a lot of my very few liquid assets into creating that and filling that market gap. No, it's just that's just as somebody who's like a really matchy person, the border of these cards changing is just like unusually upsetting to me. Like I can't do it. Yeah. I have to have card sleeves or I can never have the new cards with the silver border. So
and they don't need to be
drastic option.
I mean, and it's the thing about that is like they don't need to be they don't need to be the hardback sleeves. The hardback sleeves would probably be cool. You just got to do it on the penny sleeve.
Yeah, just like the nice little cheap ones. Just make sure all you got to make sure you do is the width and the color of the yellow border is the same.
Right.
Like exactly. That's it's either I have to from now on start using the like yellow penny sleeve idea, or I have to go back and get silver border penny sleeves
for all my other cards.
And I've been collecting cards since I was like literally like 5 years old. So. It's going to be easier to just change moving forward.
Right. The other thing I thought was not pretty interesting. What I was saying from last week's show was I am because I do listen when I'm not able to come around, because I need to make sure I stay up to date. I have major FOMO of missing out on new inside jokes that you guys may create when I'm not around.
Gotcha.
So, you know, that's the other thing, but anyway, I forget the other card thing is I'm sure it'll hit me kind of whenever, but I think Lings Weebo and no favorite, our favorite like TCG set. I mean, like, look, I think for me, the question is easy. It's going to be the base set because that's what got me in. That's what got me, in love with this. I will love, I don't remember what the first set that introduced full art cards, but I love how Pokemon handles full art cards. And so we have to, whatever set that was, second favorite set.
What are we talking about? Sorry, I definitely was not. That was certainly, definitely not Amazon that had just called me. You were spot on, Jim.
Yeah, I called it. I know.
It was fine. Everything's good.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
But wait. I remember. I remember my question. Okay, so Link of the Weeb mentions it in the thing. Are the cards going back to or getting more in line with the Japanese sets as far as adding holos and stuff, or
so basically since they're upping the price to $4.49, they are making it so that everything has three holos in it. They haven't explained like what the type of holo is. I think
every
Japan
pack is gonna have three
yeah
holos?
I think Japan already has three holos.
I remember as a kid getting the Japanese packs because they always had a holo and I wanted a holo. And so I had way more Japanese cards than I did American cards at first, until I traded them all away. I mean, sold them all away for, look, they were seed capital for my American set. Okay.
To answer your question, give me a second. To answer your question, we don't know exactly what the makeup is going to be, but I think Japan has two normal holos and one reverse holo, and so I think that's what's going on with it. It wouldn't surprise me. Like one of the big things, which I don't know if I don't know if Japan does like rares that don't have holofoil. Mm-hmm. But they're doing away with those in the US.
Mm-hmm. I will say one of my favorite cards in recent memory is this one. And I'm holding up the 25th anniversary full art Pikachu card from, you know, it's a recreation of the base set. This, like, I know it's a super basic card or whatever, but is easily, like I said, one of my favorite cards in recent memory. And I'm sure it's nostalgia talking on this one.
I love that card.
It just looks great. Speaking of showing cards off, now I don't know where the hell they are. Oh, I went to comic book went to CGC recently to kind of see how the sausage is made, kind of thing. We were able to bring some cards with us. I brought a whole mishmash of stuff, but I did bring one of my first edition Pikachu card, just because it was like the basic enough thing, and I didn't know where I have lost my base set holos. They're here somewhere. I haven't lost them. They're just like in a box buried under some stuff.
No, but anyway, they're gone.
No, they're not gone. But anyway, I just got them back, and I gotta tell you what, these slabs are nice. And this is not like an ad for CGC or whatnot, because I have a slab for a PSA card, which I'll just show for comparison for those watching. These labels look like someone, like in comparison, look like someone just like typed them up a typewriter on a slip of paper and then just slid it into the plastic. CGC ones are nice. Anyway, this was my Pikachu got a 7. I was not happy with it, but then when he pointed out all of the flaws, I was like, well, I guess I can't argue. So, can't argue that. Yep, all those flaws are there. That dinged corner, yeah, it's because I dropped it. Whatever.
Good, love that.
So, but anyway. Definitely cool thing. We'll keep moving on, because we're gonna have a ton to talk about. CC Kuzak says second review is still an extremely fun podcast. Been listening to you guys more frequently while at work. Well, glad we can be with you while you work. I just finished the main story of Pokemon Scarlet, and I loved it. I think it's one of the best stories of Pokemon games I've had in a long time. I heard Megan say she didn't like the game's performance and story. Performance, no one will disagree with, but LOL emoji. How did you not like the story? The Arvin and Team Star stuff were both really good, and the finale had a crazy twist with a lot of emotion. My question to Megan, why don't you like the story?
So I agree that the story has a lot to it. I think it's one of the most complex stories that Pokemon has done, and I give that freely. I do not think
more complex because it's got like four going on at once.
Yes, exactly. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Sure. I just do not feel like there was adequate transition between all of the stories, because you could kind of do them in any way you thought. I felt like, again, I've said this before, the you know, fighting the like you know, the time misplaced Pokemon, the legends and all that stuff, like that was excellent. Everything with you know, the little, you know, little sick dog, amazing. Like, also incredibly sad. I thought that was an amazing way to tell a story, but then everything just kind of felt really loose from there on. I feel like they could have done a much better job at, you know, intermingling the stories so they felt a little bit more you know, important before the final arc, because I think the final act, the twist, while very you know, surprising, like I also like called it. Like, it didn't, like, within like the first little bit of playing the game, I was like, something's up with this character, like something's gonna happen. So yeah, I felt like there were definitely high points, but it wasn't consistently to that level, which was, you know,
which is fair,
a little disappointing.
Just fair. Totally fair. All right, going on to the last ones, we get to the news real quick. Is this one's from TPOR, the podcast of Roblox. That feels like an ad. Hello, I love your podcast. This is my second review. What do you think the second set for Scarlet and Violet in the trading card game is going to be? Also, what do you think a terrestrialized Gigantamax would look like? Keep up the good work. Love your stuff. My favorite Pokemon is Rowlet. I'm going to answer the second question first. A terrestrialized Gigantamax would just be an abomination.
It would break the game. It would be something out of a sci-fi novel.
Like a crystalline monster that, you know, towers 40 feet tall, living crystal come to life.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to see that, watch some Godzilla movies. Get into the kaiju genre.
Space Godzilla.
Get into that, which I promise you will not be, you know, disappointed about.
Right. And as far as the first question about the, what will the second set of Scarlet and Violet be in the TCG? Honestly, like, I mean, it could really just be anything. It's still super early that like, I know the TCG sets have a theme and whatnot, but like, to me, they've always just kind of seemed random. And so I'm just like, you know, what will it be? You don't know. I'm sure it'll have some Pokemon in it. It'll have some nice art, and we'll all be happy about it. And look, maybe it has a Charizard. Maybe it will have a terrestrialized Charizard. That's what we'll get in the second set. Because I don't, you know, if we don't get it in the first set, which is entirely possible. So, all right, let's get to the news.
Mm-hmm.
Cinderace coming to Scarlet and Violet.
Yes, he is. The next Pokemon and Scarlet, Pokemon and Scarlet. Ooh, just thrown off because it's not every day that Amazon calls you. Pokemon Scarlet and Violet is bringing in Cinderace as their next 7-star raid. This is a fighting Terra type Cinderace, and it comes with the Mightiest Mark. That's right. As everyone thought and expected, Cinderace is finally becoming a fighting type. So we're getting that. That is going to run on December 30th through January 1st. So if you time it right, you can ring in the new year by having a giant fireball dropped on you by a fighting type Cinderace.
Well, there we go.
Also, it's coming January 13th through 15th. And this coming weekend, we are getting a Delibird event. So this is the set type Delibird. So Delibird is getting a 1 through 5-star raids, and it will be in December 23rd through December 25th. Delibird is just popping up in all the raids because, you know, Delibird is Christmassy.
I feel like they kind of missed the timing on the Cinderace. Maybe timed it a little bit more towards the final game of the World Cup. Probably would have made a bit more sense for the very obvious soccer playing Pokemon.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna argue that one.
Yeah, there's no arguing that point.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you're probably right, but you know, and usually I would make the argument that it's like, well, Japan doesn't really care about the World Cup, but Japan
is insanely interested in soccer these days, or football, right. I guess, if you're across the pond. You know, it's not as big as baseball yet, but it's up there, man. They are very invested.
Fata Burnus says Cinderace is for the Chinese zodiac, the year of the rabbit.
Oh, that does make sense.
Yeah. That makes more sense.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay.
You know what? I'd rather it be for Messi. I'm just saying.
all right. Pokemon Go Community Day was last weekend. Mm-hmm. No one cared. I mean, the people who played cared. Holiday events are starting up, and I care a bit more about that.
Yes. Well, we talked about the holiday event last week.
So it's coming, but the big thing was more Vivillon was added in like a million different Vivillon variants, right?
Yeah.
So, good luck, Pokemon Go completists.
And like the thing is basically how this all works is, you have to earn medals for the Vivillon. Vivillon, it's a freaking butterfly Pokemon. So you need to get 3 postcards from each specific region, which are sent from people on your friend list. And when you get these different postcards from the area, you will get a Scatterbug encounter. And that Scatterbug evolves into the Vivillon with the various pattern on its back. So, you know, it's kind of neat in that you can get all of them, with the exception, is the lucky one in there? I'm not seeing it. Most of them are in there. So, you know, it's a good chance to get a bunch of them. And, you know, if you have a lot of
interaction. Say, this is a very cool mechanic.
It is. It's better than, yeah, I will give them props. I like this a lot more than I like other stuff.
Yes, 100%. Because it just feels more attainable, but also a bit of a challenge, right? Like, and that's where I appreciate when the Pokemon Go making new Pokemon available and whatnot, right? Like, I understand making some region locked exclusive. That, like, I have no problem with that. I get it, right? It's like what a handful out of the thousands you can get, or hundreds you can get, basically. But yeah, cool. All right, and then last but not least, we got a big update coming to Pokemon Unite.
Pokemon Unite is getting a major new update. So this will be released the day after Christmas. It's coming with a couple of things. Dragapult will be officially added to the game on December 29th, and we are getting a New Year celebration, which will get you one Unite license, which it's basically any of the base ones that were, like, some of the early ones. So Venusaur, Charizard, Blastoise, Pikachu, Clefable, Dodrio, Snorlax, Azumarill, Sableye, Absol, Garchomp, Lucario, Zoroark, Greninja, Talonflame, Zeraora, Cinderace, Greedent, and Cramorant. So you get one of those just by logging in. They're also giving away a holoware for free. And then they're doing this Full Fury team clash that runs from December 27th through February 5th. You choose either the red team or the blue team, and you earn points for their team. And the team with the highest points will get more rewards. That's kind of the event. You know, Dragapult, red versus blue. And yeah. Okay, I've said all I need to say on that.
All right, perfect. All right, we are going to take a quick break, pay for the show when we get back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, everybody.
What's the surprise? Tell us what the surprise is.
So, I know, you can't just, like, leave us on that.
We, at A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, will be giving you, our listeners, an extra episode.
Because
tomorrow, we are going to have part two of a therapy session with Sarah Nacho Annie. I don't know. We don't know what time yet. We'll figure that out if you're listening to this on Monday. But stay tuned to our social if you want to. We'll probably do it live because why not? But also, you'll have an extra episode in your feed for this week where we kind of look back at the history of her and Ash. Find out, we'll ask her when she knew. And what it's been like for her, us, and everyone else. So it should be a good, fun episode. If you listened to our last episode with Sarah, she was a ton of fun. So looking forward to getting the chance to talk to her again tomorrow.
Will we be the first podcast to talk with her since
we might be? Episode? We might very well.
I think we might.
Yep. So stay tuned for that. And happy holidays, everyone. Speaking of holidays, I got a Christmas gift that's been sitting in the back of my thing that my wife got me. I didn't even know she got it for me, but it came in and she's like, I just had to give this to you now.
I can see it.
It's the Gengar Squishmallow.
Oh,
nah.
And I love him.
Don't take that out in public. Someone probably will try to steal it from you.
Or it's going to go the way of your first edition holofoils, which may or may not still be located inside your house.
Yep. Nope. Absolutely not. I love them. I love it. I love it immensely. But yeah, it's one of those things where she goes, my wife sometimes tunes in, and she was like, yeah, you were talking about it one time you tuned in, and I set an alert for when they went on sale, and I happened to get one, and I was like, damn, because they went fast.
Oh yeah,
I tried to get one.
A few minutes.
I know. And then when I emailed the Pokemon company, I was like, hey, do you got any? And they're like, nope. And I was like, all right.
we can just email the Pokemon company with our grocery list of things we want.
Yeah, sometimes. Anyway, let's do it. Let's get into it. Okay. Megan, fill us in.
Oh, it's happening, everybody. As the rumors for the last several months suggested and then didn't suggest and then suggest again, but now ultimately has confirmed, Ash Ketchum, after 25 years, is leaving the anime. It is official. Him and Pikachu will be doing their swan song in this last week. Pokemon Journeys aired its last episode in Japan. It was an incredibly good episode. I'm very excited to see how the English dub handles it. Ash freaking reunited with Butterfree. And if like, I just didn't start crying in that exact moment, like I just couldn't handle it. But yeah, they have confirmed Ash is leaving with Pikachu. They are going to be kickstarting at the beginning of January an 11 episode kind of mini series arc that is going to wrap up officially his journey, kind of doing like a farewell tour, basically. So you can expect a lot of emotional episode. I do know that they will be doing a enhanced animation style for this special series that's coming out. So, you know, you can expect it to look really gorgeous. We're going to be able to see Ash kind of make his rounds, say goodbye, reunite with a lot of people. And then after that 11 episode mini kind of arc series is done, later in the year we will be getting the official new Pokemon anime. No official title has been announced, but we do know that we will be getting two new protagonists, Roy and either Liko or Lyko, but it's going to be a dual protagonist situation. There's a lot of theories going out about who these protagonists could be, the major one being that one of them is actually Ash's daughter with Serena. So, you know, that would be absolutely wild. But yeah, it's official. Ash is he's retiring. His Pokemon journey is officially coming to an end.
So okay,
but now be honest, when you first heard the news,
mm-hmm.
y'all got a little bit emotional.
So let me tell you the story of how I found out.
It was a wild early morning.
So there I was, woken up 5:25 in the morning by my middle child, who is 2 years old. And he is, you know, he wakes up between 6 and 7. He goes to his door. And even though he has the ability to open up his own door, he doesn't. He sits there and starts shouting for us. and so he is like shouting and wailing, and that's what wakes me up. And so I'm like, maybe he'll go back to sleep. I get on to Twitter, and literally, as I get on to Twitter, suddenly, boom, Ash is gone. I'm like,
yep.
I'm like, oh, what? What?
Wake you up.
And so morning. I literally like smack my wife. Like, I'm like, Darcy, I have to go and shower. Some news just happened, and I like stumble downstairs and like writing up like Ash is leaving and all this stuff, because nobody on our site is on at 5:30 in the morning, nor should they be. Right. Actually, I think we did have one person on, but not someone who would write about it. So I was like, I guess I am going to write this news up. It was a weird way to wake up. You know, I will say, after like the initial bout of sadness that Ash and Pikachu are finally leaving, I'm pretty convinced, based on how like the actual press release is worded, because like all the news stories that were coming up, including ours, is Ash Ketchum is leaving the Pokemon anime. That's the gist of it. Ash, the Pokemon company never explicitly said that. Maybe this is me going through the seven stages of grief here, and I'm
he's not really leaving.
It's a little bit that way.
Yeah, it definitely says, you know, it definitely says, you know, these episodes will feature fan favorite Pokemon and characters, including Misty and Brock, and they will provide a glimpse at what the future may hold for the world's strongest trainer in this final chapter for Ash and his Pikachu. So, you know, they do say it's a final chapter. you know, which fine, but they don't actually say that Ash is leaving the anime, which brings us to point number two. Liko, she certainly has some very interesting hair.
Liko looks a lot like two characters that we know.
Yeah. Okay, but here's the thing, and I don't want to burst any ship bubbles here, right? But man, I mean, it would shock the heck out of me if Japan was like, "Yep, we're gonna give in to the fan, we're gonna give in to the ship and make it canon."
Oh,
that to me feels like a stretch.
Okay, so here's the thing. When it comes to anime, that's the new trend. You have the series of Boruto. You have even in the new Fairy Tail sequel. I mean, the idea of ship children leading, I mean, the Seven Deadly Sins. You look at anime right now, a lot of legacy shonen series. You know, the easiest way that they kind of continue, I mean, Bleach has done it. It just keeps on going. I mean, Demon Slayer did it in its epilogue. That is what they do. They, at the very end, they won't tell you a single thing about the ship. And then in a time skip epilogue, they're together and they've had a kid and the kid's like 12 years old. That is how shonen series do it, because they don't want to get into it. That is what Pokemon would do. So the fact that Liko looks a lot like Ash, has Serena's eyes. She's wearing in her hair kind of a clip that looks like the L green symbol from Ash's hat. I mean, it's really not hard to put two and two together that somehow she is related to Ash. The question is, how does the time skip present itself in Pokemon moving forward? And if that is the case, which I am like 80% sure at this point, where we're heading in that direction, then we will definitely be seeing Ash again. He's not going to be the focus of it, but he will show up at some point with like an old Pikachu and we'll all cry, which I would love.
So here's the real question, Megan. Do you think, so here's the three options that I see. Liko could be, you know, I know what you and I want, Ash and Serena, you know.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. That's what we all want.
You know, that's the one that makes sense, right? And, and you know, she, of all the companions that came back in Pokemon Journeys,
she stuck around.
You know, it really felt like her appearance, they deliberately did not have her intersect with Ash other than for a brief, fleeting moment. Compare that to literally all the rest of them.
Is Serena also 10, though?
Yeah. They're the same age.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they went to summer camp together. They were, you know, destined childhood friends. But here is the problem. There are two other Ash companions with blue eyes. There's Dawn, which, you know, Dawn was in Pokemon Journeys a lot. A lot. And then there's Misty.
It's not Misty.
No,
I don't think it's Misty.
Misty's too old. But you know what I mean. It would just be
feel like she's too old. I just, the fact of how Pokemon, as a company and as a brand, has presented these three, you know, female companions. Misty's clearly the best friend. Misty is the ride or die OG best friend, would help Ash bury a body if need be. Like that's Misty's shtick with Brock. Dawn, you know, just kind of feels like almost like weirdly familial. Like it doesn't have like anything weird to it, but the way that they have presented Serena is different.
Yeah.
So I would be shocked if they went a different direction. I mean, honestly, at this point, just given how many anime series I have seen do this, the way that they have set Ash and Serena up is just like so similar to how like in the early days of Naruto, they set up like Naruto and Hinata. So like the writing's on the wall, whether we want it to be there or not. So if Liko is, as many on the internet suspect, you know, the child of Ash, you know, they'll drag it out for a long time. You know how like they've done with Inuyasha, the Inuyasha sequel. We have Kagome and Inuyasha's kid, and then we had Shishomaru's kid, and we were like, who's Shishomaru's kid's mom? And it was Rin. Like we all knew, but they kept us waiting. That's what they'll do absolutely for this.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we still have 11 episodes to go through to say goodbye to Ash, and that is where we are going to get the Ash Serena reunion.
I'll tell you what though, that video they put out made me feel some feelings.
Oh yeah, it was intense.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people texting me who were like, did you hear about, like, they were legitimately checking on me like there was a death in the family. I was like,
I'm
busy working right now, but I understand, like, thank you.
I love that the internet does what the internet's going to do though, and like literally took it apart frame by frame and like saw one frame where it looked like there was Ash's Butterfree.
That has been confirmed.
it's just perfect.
Well, that's I was telling my wife, Ash is leaving the anime, and like she didn't really get sad until I'm like, and they're bringing back Ash's Butterfree, and she's like, wait a second, what? And I was like, Ash's Butterfree is coming back for the first time in literally 25 years, and she's like,
bye bye Butterfree, and now it's hi Butterfree.
Yeah. Well, you know, quite frankly, I thought that Butterfree was dead. So, you know.
Well, time hasn't passed in the same
because
way.
It's been a year.
I know. It's not been only like hardly anything. But yeah, no, as soon as I saw that Butterfree, it was like automatic, like, tears. He's wearing his little ascot and he's still with pink Butterfree. Like, for a kid, I so clearly remember watching that episode. It was traumatic for me. Like, I was a kid. That was like, that can't be. People don't leave you in your life, because, you know, I was like six. Like, I didn't know what that was. It was that is one episode of television that like really has like a visceral moment that sticks with me. And that just got brought up. And the next kind of 11 episodes that we're gonna get of Ash's farewell journey, it is going to needle those heartstrings. It is going to push on all of the buttons. It's going to be painful.
We're leaving out a major part of this conversation right now, and that we are also losing Ash's Pikachu.
We don't know that. I'm pretty split 50-50 on whether Ash's Pikachu.
Do we know how Pokemon age? Like, do we have like a pretty firm idea? Like, we know like old Pokemon exist.
We
know they exist. We know that, you know, Pokemon there have been instances where Pokemon pass from age. That is
So hear me out. So if, let's say Ash's Pikachu joins one of the two new protagonists on their journey, is this like, is Ash's Pikachu basically become like, for wrestling fans, like Shawn Michaels on his last leg before retirement, or do we think he's a bit younger than that?
No, so like if how this is going to go down is Liko is going to go out, and you know, Ash's daughter is like, I'm going to go and explore the Paldea region, and Ash is going to send Pikachu to basically act as her surrogate father.
Yeah, that's how
this is Shawn Michaels returning from back injury.
So we're going further back then.
Well, it's just like
this is the Shawn Michaels that found God.
I was just like thinking about this. Like, would they really make an anime that does not feature Pikachu? I just can't see it.
I have always been able to see an anime without Ash, but I still really struggle to see it without Pikachu.
Like,
Pikachu is just such a fundamental marketing linchpin. In a lot of different ways. And I know, obviously, the Pokemon company has diversified in the last, you know, five years, 10 years, even with, you know, how they use mascots. But I mean, Pikachu is still it's still the one, you know? So I would be very surprised if Ash's Pikachu doesn't kind of like take that almost like pseudo like mentorship, like leadership role for Liko moving forward. While Ash just kind of does his thing, like Professor Oak did his thing back at home. So like that is very much how I see this going. And again, that is a trope we have seen done so successfully time and time again in anime. Like it's right. It is there. That method has proven to be successful, whether you like Boruto or not. It is one of the top grossing anime titles at TV Tokyo and with Studio Pierrot. So like it, there's no reason for them to
here's
not.
Here's the other part of this too. And I tweeted this about when the news broke about Henry Cavill not being Superman, about how like you can still be sad about Henry Cavill leaving and be excited for what comes next for Superman. Same thing applies, I think, here for Ash. And when I was thinking about it, Go is my daughter's favorite protagonist in Journeys. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of, you know, like she is now my age when I got into Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And the idea of her being able to start or like kind of fresh with mm-hmm. a new anime and latch on to one of these two new protagonists in the same way that we latched on to Ash is mm-hmm. kind of exciting. I think it's great. And honestly, you know, look, we talk about how some of the decisions the Pokemon company makes based off the kind of where we're at in the nostalgia cycle makes a lot of sense, right? Like,
oh yeah, incredibly. And
so so I as much as I'm sad to see Ash go, I am definitely excited for what comes next. It'll just be where does it go, right? And what, you know, yeah. What is the story? And I think the Pokemon company's not stupid, and they're going to find some ways to tie it back to the original stuff for the older fans to be like, oh, right. That,
right.
Which is why I like the time jump theory that, you yeah. know, we finally get Ash who, Ash will probably become 15.
Well, I think it's just an incredibly smart thing, as you said, like your kid, I mean your Hoffer's children as well, they're starting to be those ages that we were when we got into Pokemon. So giving them a fresh start, a fresh protagonist that they identify with that doesn't have baggage is incredibly accessible for them, and it makes it way easier for the Pokemon company to be able to do these things without a certain amount of expectations. But at the same time, they don't want to abandon the fan base that has invested 25 plus years. It'd be like the Marvel Universe just doing an absolute hard reset and not giving back homage to what we've had in the MCU for the last decade plus. Like, that is a really difficult thing to do. So what they're doing with a new protagonist, these dual protagonists, I think is really smart. But by doing what most fans believe with a time skip, you're still honoring the progression that we've had with Ash for the last 25 years by making him older, by giving him an adulthood. If you want to give him that family, like, that is again something that a lot of nostalgic, classically top dog anime series have done, with Dragon Ball to Naruto. I think Pokemon is a little overdue in it, honestly. So I'm excited to see how it works.
Here's a question for you. Does Ash, does he remain a trainer or like a, maybe he becomes a gym leader, or is he the new professor?
I don't think.
Or is he a professor?
I think he continues to stay training.
Yeah.
I think that in some form, I think that it's probably, not as, hard and fast as it is now. I think obviously he defends his title that he recently acquired. I think he's defending that title. I think if anything, he becomes like a, training mentor, kind of like how he was for Go. Like, that's kind of his position as a teacher.
Here's how I see it playing out. Ash opens Pallet Town's first gym.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. immediately raises the economy of Pallet Town by making it a tourist destination for the world over. It's now full of hotels and casinos and all this other stuff because everyone wants to come and pay respect to the great Ash Ketchum.
You have literally described what happens to the Henley Village.
Yeah, that is exactly
what original idea. Like,
it literally is exactly what like, happened in Naruto. It's what happened in dang man. Jim's over here just being Masashi Kishimoto, and we're all just like, oh my god. I do love in the comments, Calder 27, you know, says that doesn't it make sense for Gary to become the professor after Oak. I definitely can see that happening. Gary becoming the next like Professor Oak. Like, I would love to see that.
Oh my gosh, does that mean like we lose Professor Oak? Like, well, does Professor Oak?
Oh, he'll just retire. Yeah, he's probably gonna move in.
No, he's got not Ash is going to be of childbearing age of a 10-year-old. Professor Oak's probably dead.
Okay. He's dead. Time doesn't matter.
They ain't gonna kill Professor Oak. And if they're definitely not gonna do it off screen. We have just decided that Pokemon is taking Naruto's Pokemon is doing Naruto's thing. So, like, Professor Oak is going to die. Spoiler alert for Naruto. He's going to die like Jiraiya did. He's going to get impaled.
It's just gone. So the new Pokemon anime is going to open up with Professor Oak's, you know, funeral, and you know, Ash is sitting there crying over there.
Professor Oak had a Charizard, he just couldn't train.
I'm just saying, man.
They said he died, his heart just one time stopped working, it received too many electrical impulses.
You just one too many shocks from Pikachu, man.
Right? Okay, but now we have to start thinking about like some of the other implications here on the wider anime world. What happens to Team Rocket? What happens to Jet and James and Meowth?
So here's my adult brain.
So maybe they'll just get some wrinkles.
here's my big brain theory. So what's going to happen is Meowth is going to join Ash on his final journey. So we get the Pokemon translator. And so Ash is going to go, and when he meets Butterfree, you know, Meowth is going to translate like Butterfree's like, you know, wee, wee, wee. And it's all going to be like, yo, yeah, Ash. Ash, did you finally like hook up with someone? Like, you know, I've had like 76 kids, and Ash's like, oh god, women exist in this world. And Meowth, that's how this is all going to kick off and build up to the new anime in which Ash has a daughter. Ash is going to discover, like, oh no,
now I'm just seeing Butterfree introducing his children to Ash and acting like, you can have children in this world? I guess I need to have kids. And then it like does like a weird PowerPoint transition to introducing the Liko. Oh man.
Is Butterfree explaining the birds and the bees via Meowth to Ash Ketchum. And that is how the anime ends.
I'm not going to be mad if Team Rocket ends up with Jesse and James having a kid, because that did happen in the manga. They did get together and had a family.
Yeah,
and that original manga, like, they got together, they had a baby. So, like, I won't be mad if that happens. I'm just making that clear. There's a lot of implications. I mean, Misty will be older, you know. Brock, I mean, all of these people who we haven't seen, they would age, which inherently fuels a lot of kind of like revivalism into the nostalgia fan base for, you know, Pokemon. We've seen it time and time again. Pokemon has watched every other major main series, shonen series, except for One Piece, like, do this. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean it's wild, and I'm excited to talk to Sarah about it tomorrow, because it's just
how will you voice old Ash? What does old Ash sound?
What
like?
What does old Ash sound like?
Yeah.
What is his favorite dad joke?
Oh God! It's wild, right? To see. We just kind of went through it just a week or so ago when Ash won the championship, right? Like, this was big headline news, like major news outlets reported on it, not just, you know, the fan sites and stuff like that. And like the news of Ash leaving just as big, just as monumental of a news piece for something that has been going on for 20 plus years. And it was very cool to see a lot of Pokemon fans just kind of come out and not necessarily eulogize Ash, because like, he's not dead, he's just, you know, not gonna be anything, but see how much of, you know, the anime meant to a lot of fans and the character in particular, right? Like, the one of the, we talk about this all the time. One of the reasons that we've, that I think makes Ash such a great character is Ash's perseverance, right? Ash's pursuit of wanting to be the best, but never never bending on, you know, his morality and just like things like that. He's just Ash is just an all around very good person that we all wish we could be, kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And so for that to come to an end feels like, you know, the cynic is like, well, there's no hope in humanity. Even Ash is gone, right?
It just, you know, I think for our generation, there has been kind of like this extended arrested development of sorts, because so many of our favorites still exist and still play such a dominant role in pop culture. You know, like Marvel has never been bigger. Those characters, you know, continue to exist and, you know, will only continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, even though we've seen some like pretty dramatic changes to the Marvel Cinematic Universe over the last 10 years, like that, you know, those characters still exist in some form, like, you know, like Iron Man is still around in the comics and the cartoons and all that stuff. I'm sure, you know, they're going to dump a dump truck full of money to make him appear in the next Avengers movie or something like that. But, you know, like other characters that we really love, you know, have always, you know, they don't go away, you know, like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you know, my favorite characters growing up, you know, still, you know, they're still around, you know, like, yeah, we've had like three or four different iterations of them, but, you know, they're still there. But with anime, it's kind of fascinating because we've even seen this to some extent with anime. Naruto is a great example. You know, Naruto is still there. He's grown up, but he's still there. But we are starting to get, like, you know, everyone is kind of expecting, like, Naruto is going to die in Boruto, where he is going to bite it at some point. He already dodged
the bullet. And,
you know, Bleach is finally coming to an end. One Piece is finally coming to an end. You know, there's a lot of just things that have been constant in our lives for the last 20, 25, 30, 40 years. And a lot of them seem to be coming to an end now. And that for like our specific generation, particular, I think that is like, you know, this is like the equivalent of like Cheers ending or Friends ending or something like that, or, you know, some, you know, for our generation, you know, something that we not only grew up with, but it extended far, far longer than that. And I feel like older generations don't have a lot of things like that, you know, that have always been a force, or if they have, They're just kind of like timeless, like Mickey Mouse or Bugs Bunny or stuff like that. Like, we don't, you know, but, you know, like, it, to me, with Ash's leaving, and this is like, you know, just something that I've like really thought about. One of the stories that have been around since my childhood has, you know, it's come to an end. It's done. It's finished.
Yeah. I think it's easier for us, and by us, I mean, like, you know, Christian, you and I, in the sense I'm making another wrestling analogy here, right? Wrestling is this, or, you know, the world of WWE is this giant ongoing story, and there are superstars that basically come and go, and when a superstar has to retire or leaves, like, there is a, you know, you feel that, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to, you know, like, I think, like, the, like, I think a great example is when Edge retired the first time. Like, I genuinely thought we would never see him again. Like, we would see him in backstage segments or things like that. And so when he got back to the ring, came back to the ring, I was like, oh wow, like, this is really happening, kind of thing, right? And I think, like, the same thing is going to happen for Ash here, where, like, yes, like, you know, like, that Ash's story is over. We will undoubtedly see Ash again, and when we do, it'll be awesome. And who knows, Ash may have a, like you said, if our rumors or if the theories are right and we just get older Ash, we may actually see Ash more than we are thinking we may, right? Like, not like we may, we're, like, we're, you know, we may Or on the flip side, we only may get Ash once a year, kind of thing, right? Like,
oh yeah.
And so, because like, how often are we getting Professor Oak these days? Like,
yeah,
well, not very.
I mean, more than we were.
I mean, probably. Yeah, I mean, that's true. Yes.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's going to be a fine tuning process of the nostalgia drip. I mean, Pokemon knows what it's doing. We've talked about this again and again. It knows what it's doing, even as it's entering this new era. You know, as Hoffer and I have said several times already, Naruto has figured it out. It took a while. It was a little bit of a rough process. You know, Bleach is figuring it out. One Piece, you know, it hasn't done kind of a new generation thing, but it did have that time skip situation a long time ago. It had to figure it out, that rough gap. I think that Ash's journey as we know it is over. We got 11 more episodes, and then it's going to be kind of a clean slate moving forward to see where he goes with his life next. And whatever that, you know, mission is for him, it's not going to be our priority. It's not going to be the main focus anymore of Pokemon. That'll be a transition period. It'll be good. I'm excited. We'll have a lot more to talk about, obviously, as this you know, his farewell journey goes. We'll probably be crying every week as new episodes come out.
100%.
Yeah, that's it. Poor one.
I can't wait for my daughter to be in her 30s, and when you know, she loses a character like Ash, be like, well, let me tell you about how I dealt with losing Ash.
let me tell you.
I think that the thing that the Pokemon Company will need to really, like, if they are doing, like, this is a continuation of the Pokemon continuity, I don't know, like, and like, you know, like, Liko is Ash's daughter, like, you know,
Roy seems... is 900% Go's kid. That's
I really hope not, but
I feel it.
I just don't think anyone would ever like procreate with him.
That is who Don will get with.
I could see that, actually.
Or Chloe,
you know, I could see that, but you know, I do think that one of the things that they, and this is what I didn't like about Boruto in the early days. All the kids were just, you know, oh, these are the offspring, you know, these are all the offspring. There was no like room for like a new story. It felt very derivative. Yeah. And, you know, like, and like it, as you said, it took them a while. They figured it out. And now like Boruto is actually, it's not a bad story, you know?
Nope.
And, you know, they figured out, it's like the two things that we need to happen instead of just trying to rehash Naruto, but with their kids.
Yeah.
Is we're going to, one, do a extension of Naruto, you know, because Naruto is still a main character in Boruto. It's still very much like Naruto is at the heart of the story. Yeah, he's not the focus. And but, you know, that's the thing. It's threading the needle between we're going to do something cool and we're going to tell a new story in a familiar world, and you're going to see some things that you recognize. And once Naruto and Boruto got to that point, where it's like, we're going to tell a different type of story here, but it's something that if you've been following this franchise for a while, you're going to, like, you know, still be engaged without coming off as just like I didn't need this. I don't care about these kids. Give me my Naruto. You know, once, if they can do that, like right out the gate, you know, this will be great for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'm excited.
All right. Well, it's that time. We should get to the Pokemon fact of the week, but before we do, thank you, Ash. Thank you,
man.
Yeah. Well, our Poke fact of the week is, I don't, you know. So actually, I have a weird Poke fact of the week. So, you know, we're talking about Makuhita and Hariyama. And so, you know, like, they're kind of just like standard Pokemon. Like, Hariyama is one of those Pokemon that has the freakish feats of Pokemon strength. You know, it's like it can slap a train. Like, well, so can I, and you don't see me taunting.
But Hariyama, though, I feel like has been growing in popularity, or at least like public appearance by the Pokemon Company. And I can't tell if that's just me seeing it or if it's actually a thing.
So here is the weird thing about Hariyama. And it's not actually about Hariyama, it's about Iron Hands, you know, future Hariyama. So, you know, Iron Hands allegedly is a cyborg. It's not just a robot Pokemon. It is a cyborg of a mortally wounded athlete Ooh. So, you know, yeah, it was
just like RoboCop, but like so much worse.
Yeah. But here's the two-part question. You know, if it was an athlete, why didn't they just say it was Hariyama? You know, or in the future, in the far-flung future, where, in the grim, grim darkness of the far-flung future of the Pokemon universe, are Pokemon people?
Oh, this is, you can't save a question for that. You can't.
And
Christian Hoffer, you cannot.
And we did. Shut it down.
You can't do that when we've like 40 Pokemon minute conversation about, we don't have time for this.
Pokemon. Yeah. That's right. In the far flung future, of the Pokemon universe, Pokemon might be people. And scene. End.
And Ash was the first one.
Oh my gosh. I thought we were going to be talking about, does the Pokemon universe in the future have like Skynet or something to worry about? But I was getting ready to go down that avenue. But
I was more concerned. I was more concerned, are Pokemon going extinct? And so in order to keep up the capitalist charade, they needed to just create robot Pokemon.
I could have done that conversation as well, but instead we took a left turn into our Pokemon people, and now I can't like function right now.
But we know Pokemon are people because there's the 75 different Pokedex entries about how Pokemon, there are some Pokemon who have turned into Pokemon.
When the people turn into Pokemon, are they still people? They might have been people, but when they became Pokemon, are they still people? This is a really complex.
I don't know, Megan. Are you your spirit or your body?
I don't know, but I can't do this right now. I'm not having enough coffee. I'm still emotionally compromised about Ash Ketchum leaving me. I cannot have a deep philosophical conversation. Oh my gosh. Are Pokemon people? I don't know.
Calder in the chat goes, Pokemon are not people. You can't catch a person in a Pokeball. Not yet. We don't know. Like,
does Pokemon Skynet create a Pokeball that can capture people? Like humans?
But here's the thing, right? Like, we don't know. Is the Pokeball responsible for turning the Pokemon into energy and then capturing it? Or is it something inherent in Pokemon DNA that turns them into the energy that puts them in the Pokeball?
No, right. And you know what? We'll find out tomorrow when we interview the voice of Ash Ketchum.
That's how we start the interview. We're like, we're not going to ask any softball questions, Sarah. We're getting in deep. Are Pokemon people? Oh, man. That's my question. That's my first question tomorrow.
Bruce Payne, Lieutenant Surge was chucking Pokeballs at his enemies in, quote, the Great War.
Hey, you know what? I wouldn't doubt it. Not for a second.
Right? Just like now. What, okay, but now this opens up. But now this opens up a whole line of thing. Right? Like, are prisoners kept in Pokeballs to conserve space? And is that probably why?
Almost definitely. We've seen how capitalistic the society is. There's probably just a vault underground filled with thousands of hundreds.
That's
of
it. And we've actually come to learn that Pokemon gyms are actually just old jails.
Oh yeah. All I know now is probably during like the dark history, like the blank period of the Pokemon universe, is like Pokeballs were created probably as weapons for humans in the Great War. They didn't work right, and they only worked on Pokemon, and that's how they started to use Pokemon for the
war. Do we know anything about the Great War?
No, because it's a children's franchise.
I'm sorry, Hoffer. You opened this can of worms by asking if Pokemon are people.
Oh yeah, you know what? Great War we don't talk about. The Great War of France, in which apparently the ancient French created a giant laser weapon to kill their enemies.
Yeah, we know that these people went hard. I'm really concerned.
Now I want to know more about the Great War.
Well, maybe one day we'll find out.
Maybe
that's actually, it feels like a story fit for the manga, or at least, the early volumes of the manga.
No, they really never get into it. Honestly, I feel like that's going to be our next, like, whatever Arceus is, like, that's going to be our next historical throwback.
A Pokemon War story. It's like, yeah, it's gonna Game be like... Freak has made a first-person shooter.
I mean, we're laughing, but like... I'm thinking all sorts of things from the Great War to Skynet. So, like, it could happen.
I could see it.
Does Arceus not... Does the game not explain the mechanics of a Pokeball? Just that, like, here an old one's made out of wood?
Yeah, no. So how the Pokeball works is they finally explained how it works. So Pokemon, come on, give me a second. This has gone on too long, guys.
You opened it. You've opened the door.
You saved your grenade for the last little second.
We've gone on so long that you know, things are going off.
It's a very nice chime.
So, how all of this works is Pokemon have the ability to turn microscopic. That's why when they faint, you can't collect their unconscious body. That is why when you when they run away from you, you just can't keep chasing them. They shrink, and so the Pokeball triggers the shrinking, you know, reaction. Now, how that has to do with laser beams, I don't know. But that is what the Pokeball does. Every Pokemon has the ability to turn microscopic. So
is that is that a genetic thing?
Yeah.
Hank Pym create the Pokeball? Like,
I think
it's just Pym particles, right?
Theoretically, they would be able to extract the gene that allows Pokemon to do that, and inject it into people to keep them in Pokeballs.
I mean, that sounds like eugenics, Jim.
That's why I'm saying Skynet. Is Skynet something we have to worry about in the future?
It sends them
like
to the
some real Gattaca energy coming from Jim Picard.
This is the door that you have opened, and now here we
all are. All I did was read a Pokedex entry.
No, you went way back.
I tried
that.
To end this thing like 12 minutes ago.
Oh, well, you shouldn't have opened that door. And now I'm gently shutting the door until we can talk to Sarah, the voice of Ash, about it.
Yeah, we'll see you all tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Thank you so much for spending time with us on this extra long second to last episode of the year or something. We appreciate you spending time with us. Christmas is this week. Hanukkah is going on this week. Whatever holiday you celebrate, we hope you have a pleasant one and enjoy it. And you know, for those who you know, who may not look forward to the holidays this year, just know that we are here with you. And you know, we love and appreciate y'all. Again, stay tuned. Keep it locked on Twitter at Pokemon Pod CB. We will post a graphic and announcement once we figure out a time with Sarah. We'll do another. We'll do it live for the folks who want to tune in. Otherwise, it'll be in your feeds, and we hope you enjoy the chat we have, and hopefully get to have some good reminiscing time with her as well. That's it. You'll find me at Jim Viscardi. Megan is at Megan Peter CB. Christian is at C Hoffer C Bus. We'll talk to y'all, some of y'all, tomorrow. Otherwise, we'll talk to y'all next week. Have a great holiday, folks. We'll catch you later.